Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Mark Rattledge, and this is the Metal Hammer of Doom. Tonight, we will be reviewing my buddy's band, my buddy. Remember that doll? Remember that? It was Kid Sister and My Buddy. Never mind. I was in a band back in high school called Anvil, A-N-Q-V-I-L. The Q was silent, you see. Don't ask. And the drummer in my band, a good buddy of mine, who's gone on to fame, fortune, and other picture postcards, Mr. Frank Murawski. Well, I went my way, he went his, and his way landed himself in a band, see? Another band, and a band that has actually had some, you know, success. That band is called If He Dies. If He Dies, He Dies. I'm not entirely sure if that's why they went with that name, but I assume it is. Certainly if you Google If He Dies, that's the first thing you see, Ivan Drago. Rocky IV, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. The band is If He Dies, drummer Frank Murawski and some other fellas. And they put out an album late last year called Beneath the Waves, available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever else you can find digital music. They also have a Facebook page for If He Dies. You can go ahead and check that out. And not just as a favor, but because I genuinely like the album, and we had a free week where there was nothing of consequence being released, I offered to give them a review. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And unfortunately, our third chair isn't going to be here. He got a taste of his own version of the plague, the Ohio version. Apparently, everybody in his house has come down with projectile leprosy, and he finally caught a dose himself. So Jesse Starcher, the host of Source Material, will not be with us tonight to get his edumacation on, though he wanted me to mention that he loves this album, and he's going to tell everybody about it. But on time and able to make the podcast an hour earlier than we've been doing it lately, my goodness, let me bring on the man himself, the Metal Coop, Mr. Robert Cooper. How do you do, sir?
I'm doing good, Mark.
Are you going to throw a breakdown in there?
Oh, I just did. I will say.
Okay.
After I said maybe the album would grow on me in 10 minutes.
Okay.
And to a degree it has.
Oh, good. All right. So in the interest of fairness and honesty, now I want to go ahead and say this. I am not going to give these guys a positive review just because Frank Murawski and I used to play Nintendo. We did. We really did play Nintendo. We used to play that Royal Rumble game. on the Nintendo at his house. They were also big fans of Mario Kart. I was never good at that. In any case, I'm not going to give this band a positive review just because Frank Moravsky and I were boys back in the day. I'm going to give them an honest review of this album because that, such is that of the integrity of the Metal Hammer of Doom. But I did like the album. And we'll get into it in just a few minutes. But in the interest of fairness and honesty, Robert Cooper, metalcore, you're not the biggest fan. Speak on it.
And you know what's really funny? When I was in high school, I'm like, man, metalcore is the best genre. Like, I can never see myself not liking it. It's so good. And, I mean, there's still elements of it now as compared to 17-year-old me to 25-year-old me that I still find enjoyable about it. I mean, it's typically kind of an upbeat genre. It's got a lot to offer. I really feel like it does. My main problem with it is some of the I don't like breakdowns all that much. To me, it's almost forcing in heaviness into the music. And I feel like sometimes it's really, there's not much you can do with it. It's not a guitar solo. It's kind of, there's a repetition to it that I really just feel like is, I want to say, to the detriment of the music. Because, you know, some of these songs, like the first one I was listening to, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty good. And then it hit the breakdown. I'm like, God damn it. Like, either just give me a song or give me a breakdown. Fuck. Yeah, I'm not big on yeah, God damn it. But yeah, I'm just not big on breakdowns, and that's really why I just can't stand deathcore. But I mean, metalcore, there's still, like, I still love Killswitch Engage. I love old All That Remains. New All That Remains is just poop. God, it is not very good. And it's funny, like, I can't even say, like, oh, well, it's because, you know, that's what I used to listen to. No, like, I tried to listen to A War You Cannot Win by All That Remains in about 2012. Nothing on it was just memorable. I really feel like I felt like that album had, like, its radio single, and then it just had a lot of songs that really just didn't have anything new and creative in it. And I feel like maybe that's some of what it is. There's a lot of bands that are really they're really derivative of one another, and I know, I mean, granted, yes, there are plenty of metal bands that are like that, but just in my mind, I feel like metalcore is a genre that really kind of thrives on new ideas and derivations of different bands is like, just gets kind of old. But I mean, I still like your kind of your classic metalcore of sorts. And this album, now I do it more intently.
Mm-hmm.
Getting better.
It's growing on you like a fungus, eh?
Yes.
let me say this. There's so much available music out there now. There's such a wide expanse of genres. And when you're as open to a variety of, just in metal, different styles, a lot of it can just become noise. Or temporary. So one of the things about, and some might say a detriment to even doing a show like this is, you know, look at the last show we did, Overkill, right? We all agreed it was a fine album. But I don't know, as soon as we were done with the show and we had established that we didn't understand why anyone had left his cat out in the rain, not that I want to go back to through all that again, the album itself came off the playlist came off of my Spotify list, my collection of Spotify playlists, and that's it. You know, I added one song to my playlist of 2017 Metal Hammer of Doom standout tracks. I'm pulling one track per album that we review, and then that's it. It just kind of goes back, and I probably won't revisit it again. Now, even an album 2 weeks before that, Creator, which we all loved and gave high praise to, ends up falling into the same category. The last time I listened to something that wasn't a cover that stood out to me and had constant revisitation and it really was unique in its sound was Baby Metal. And that was, what, 2 years ago? You know,
longer than that. About three.
Yeah, it's true. Truly the most unique thing I've heard in years. And it's, I think it's very hard now for any band to truly capture a sense of uniqueness. Even something as silly as Howdly Doodly, Oakley Doakley, Howdly Doodly. That even had sort of a momentariness to it. So
well, I
look,
like certain bands, like bands like that are, I would say, almost a gimmick. Like, for example, like I was showing a coworker Heavy Source today. He's like, "This is pretty cool shit." I'm like, "Right. I mean, it's really good for like, hey, look at this." And you listen to two tracks and you're like, "Cool." Like Austrian Death Machine was very much the same way. Like it's got like Get to the Chopper and then I Love Screw You Benny, because that song's really catchy.
Right.
But
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
don't get me wrong. I like them, but I like them in their moment, and then the moment passes and I'm on to something else. And it's rare that there's something like Baby Metal that I'll keep coming back to. So I don't want to be too harsh on these guys, because for what they did, I think they did a good job. And I'll say right off the bat, even before we play a single track, for an independent band, an independent album, the production on this was magnifique, absolutely outstanding. You wouldn't know that this was an indie album. This sounded great. I dare say it was better than Metallica's Saint Anger, which was apparently mixed by a squirrel.
Ding, ding.
I'm going to let you go ahead and make one more comment, and then we'll transition into playing some tracks here, since I cut you off.
No, well, it's all good, because I cut you off. But I feel like some of the problem with it is that, like, there's gonna show the difference between the two of us, but I really feel like a CD is something that really helps music stay around for you. At least for me, because I throw in the CD, and it kind of just, the CD's over. Well, sure, let's listen to it again. Like, there are so many albums, like the latest Alice's album, Kodama. Like, I listened to that for about 3 weeks, just as I was, you know, every once in a while when driving, and I really feel like it helped it stay around. Same with Throzenblatt. Throzenblatt played for, like, a month in my car. And I think that's oftentimes how you can kind of build a relationship with your music. That's why I like the first 10 albums that I owned. I just fucking knew every word to it because that's all I listened to. And I think just the accessibility of music nowadays is to a detriment. One thing that I actually like to do is every once in a while I'll go back to some old playlists that I've made and just kind of find some of those best tracks. And that's actually something I really like to do, is go back and listen to some albums that really kind of made an impact. Some of the more, a lot of the doomier albums that I've listened to, just kind of stuck around, that I want to listen to, sing along with or something. But yeah, I feel like when you're talking about like Overkill, like that Children of, like, what was it? Halo of Blood by Children of Bodom. Albums like that, that are fine, that are good, that you could listen to in the background and it'll all be good, or you can listen to it intently and it's all fine. But it just kind of does the same thing. Those albums are the ones that, I mean, they're going to mean different things to different people, but they're going to be quality no matter what, which I feel like is a positive, but it doesn't necessarily stand out. But that's fine. That could be somebody's favorite album, for all I know. I could see that. But I don't necessarily think you have to be, you have to be necessarily unique and all to be, like, memorable. If you got, like, two good tracks on an album sometimes, you're pretty good. There are some albums. I remember one album. It was Amaranthia, I think. And that is a song called Afterlife, which I really liked. And that was the only good track on that album. The rest of the album was just mediocre. But sometimes that's all it takes. It was a metalcore band, but it had a female singer and a guy that screamed. And I feel like they had a really nice back and forth. And it also was a very upbeat song, up-tempo, which my favorite song on this album also is very up-tempo, on a side note. But, yeah, I've kind of noticed that, too, when I've been trying to go back and do that music review thing. I'm still going to do it someday. I haven't got my year looked at. I might have to forget about the year and just fucking do it. God, I've worked. I'm going to be – I think by Friday I'll have worked 50 hours this week.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I worked 12 and a half on Mexican.
It's a lot of illegal Mexicans you've helped cross the border into North Carolina.
Well, they fired 600 illegal Mexicans from corporate today, so that was wonderful. Apparently, they had the cops there and everything because they were like, hey, surprise, you're fired. But,
As anyone has ever listened to any of my podcasts before, I murderize a name and anyone that gets in my name, and I don't give a hoot. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, you know, I should probably be a little bit more respectful to these guys since I know them. At least I know one of them personally, or did. And I'm like, yeah, Frank Murawski and some dudes. All right. So I go to their Facebook page, and they have a website, ifhedies.com. And I go there, and between the website, their SoundCloud page, and their Facebook page, I still can't find band members' names. I've got first names, no last names. I feel less bad about calling this now the Frank Murawski experience, but in the interest of being polite and respectful to these gentlemen, on vocals we have Darren, on guitar we have Steve, on the bass guitar we have Tim, the aforementioned Frank on drums, and finally Andrew on guitar. And there they are, folks. That's If He Dies. So let's go ahead and get into this. I don't know why they didn't put their last names. It's not like they went with code names and they're all in masks and some shit and they're trying to hide their identities. Just weird to me. But I don't know. Maybe we'll hear from them later and they can explain. They can explain themselves. I'm an old man now. I don't know if that would have bothered me like 10 years ago. I don't know if that would have bothered me even last week, but it bothers me now, God damn it. All right. Does it bother you? What do you think about that?
What? Them having are you not knowing their names?
Only having first names.
I mean, that's their prerogative. I mean, quite frankly, cool. You don't want to be recognized for your music. Because it's not like they even gave themselves nicknames. They're not like Finriz or Abbas or fucking Dead. They're just Frank, Billy, and Joe. Like, oh, cool. I got an uncle that does that who's with that name. Sweet.
All right. We need to get into this before the people. So if they end up listening to this podcast, and like, what the fuck, man? no, we're not ripping you guys. I swear to God. All right, so track one. This is All the King's Men.
We're gonna make it.
first thing that I thought about as I listened to this album, and not just this track, but the it's a 7-track album, by the way. And as we went through this track by track, first thing that jumped out at me is, wow, this is very Killswitch Engage. And we like Killswitch Engage on this podcast, so that's not a bad thing. We did an entire retrospective to them a little over a year ago. And I think they capture that style very well. I think when the vocals are clean, the singer can absolutely carry a tune. I'm a big fan of a breakdown. I know historically my friend and I that from New York that used to go to metal shows with me, we used to joke about how Long Island was turning into a bunch of bands where all their songs were nothing but breakdowns. But all these many years later, I like a good breakdown in a song. So I thought all the elements of enjoyable music were there. Good track to lead off on, and I honestly think this sets the tone for the rest of the album. What'd you think?
Yes, very Killswitch Engage-y. The more I listen to it, I'm like, yep. And I even think that the singing almost has a I'm not going to say the Howard Jones sort of delivery, but I can hear some Howard in there. Love Howard. Oh, so much. But the one thing that does annoy me with this song is that just constant breakdown. I don't know. I think maybe it's just because I'm not as big into the whole hardcore thing.
Why are you racist against breakdowns?
Well, no, if I were racist, I'd hate black metal. I was like, the side note, I was totally showing a coworker Iron Reagan today. He goes, are they a cover band? I'm like, no, they're crossover. And he just kind of looked at me. I'm like, crossover, hardcore, mixed with thrash. He's like, any mainstream examples? I'm like, ERI? He just kind of was like, nope, sorry. I'm like, yeah, shit. But yeah, I mean, overall, this song is pretty good. I actually like the song. I've listened to it a few more times. It's just, I think that it's kind of, when I hear that, the fucking, I don't know why every time I do that, I do that fucking breakdown from fucking Psychosocial, but I think it's because I was just watching a video that took that meme from Lazy Town and then mixed it with fucking Psychosocial. We're great. Anyway. Yeah, it was so good. I was just chuckling. I'm like, it was pretty good. Just like yesterday, I found out there's a Vladimir Putin themed pop song from Russia. Because I didn't know Vladimir Putin.
I also watched John Oliver last week tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know Putin's like a god over there, which makes sense. I mean, hey,
there's a great book that I read a few years ago, 2005. Well, it's 2017. 2005 was not a few years ago. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Anywho's.
Right. God, we're getting old, Mark Radlich.
We are, and I'm like twice your age. But, you youngin'. But I believe it's called The Russians. I'll check. But it was really all about how, like, Vladimir Putin took this dysfunctional, fucking backwards, corrupted, destroyed country in Russia, post-Soviet Union, and decided, you know what this country needs to be? The Soviet Union again. And went about basically creating just that. So, yes, to some degree, Vladimir Putin is considered a strong man, if you will. I don't know if he's a god, though if somebody asked if you're a god, you say yes. But he is absolutely considered sort of, the man that brought Russia back from just back from irrelevance.
Yeah,
and that's your history lesson of the day, folks.
he's their Hulk Hogan, but, or their Hollywood Hogan. I don't know. There you go. He's Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, overall, end of the day on this song. Pretty, I mean, it's a pretty good song. Honestly, the more I listen to it, the more I kind of tune out the breakdown parts of it, because that's just not my thing. It's not my jam. Breakdowns just are we're cousins that don't really get along very well.
All right, here's our next track, track two. This is A Change of Course. Directed to this podcast because we're talking about it and you're wondering, why aren't you playing the entire song? Because legally we can't. I think I'm legally good at about halfway through the song. Beyond that, you start getting into some legal questionable territory. I actually think you're only supposed to play about 30 seconds of it without buying a BMI ASCAP, but I still think there's some legal terra firma at about the halfway point. So that's what we do here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. We play about half or less than half the track. Sometimes I get frustrated with the song and just go, nope, and I only play about 10 seconds. Either way, you only get to hear a little bit of the song, and then we got to turn it off, and then we talk about it. As for A Change of Course, continues where we left off with All the King's Men. I don't have much more to say about it than that. I think everything we talked about with that first track applies to this one, to the letter. By the way, the book that I was telling you about that I read in 2005 about Mr. Putin on the Ritz, is called Kremlin Rising, Vladimir Putin on the Ritz's Russia and the End of the Revolution. So check that out if you're interested in the subject. And you want a good book to read. I enjoyed that one back in the day. Cooper, what do you think?
Actually, the more breakdowny parts of the song did not bother me whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think it's because honestly, it just felt like more of the actual song than something that really is in there to kind of fill time and make the song more brutal. And I say it like that because it is BR00TAL.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Sounds like a He-Man villain. Let's go slaughter He-Man. Sorry.
And we'll just review that album again. We'll stop this right now and just start the anal fisting.
Oh, no. First of all, not without Jesse Starcher. And I don't mean anal testing without Jesse Starcher. I mean, we're not going to discuss Lordy without Jesse Starcher. He'll be sore with us.
I thought he was the passenger car in this train. I didn't know.
I almost said he'll be sore if we don't talk about anal fisting. That poor guy.
He's gonna be sore. Oh no! The D train down to Pound Down.
Oh no!
I know. We're too silly.
Yeah, I was gonna say it took us a half an hour, but in two tracks into this, we've already hit Silly Town.
Hey, you know this is when we do our best podcast. Let's be honest.
It's true.
Yeah. Was, I mean, overall, I like this song. The breakdown, the part of it that is reminiscent of a breakdown, kind of does remind me of some of the really early Killswitch Engage, but I felt like some of it didn't. I feel like the breakdown part of it didn't detract because that was really part of the song. In terms of lyrics, there's not much I can really say because I haven't looked up the lyrics because their stuff's kind of hard to find. Like, they were on Spotify, but you can't really find them on YouTube because all you really find is another band, which is named after the Ivan Drago quote, "If he dies, he dies." And then I get a bunch of movie clips of "If he dies, he dies." Yeah. Like, it's funny. Like, they're not even the first band that shows up when I type in their name.
So, I'm actually on their Spotify page. I'm curious to see, like, you know, where their listens are around the world. And their number one listen in the world is Center Reach, Long Island, which would make sense. The next one is Manhattan, then the Boogie Down Bronx, then Brooklyn's in the House, and then Fort Myers, of all places. Fort fucking Myers. So, they're big in New York, which would make sense. They're from Long Island. So, anyway, back in the city, let's go on to track three, y'all. This is Beyond Measure. This is going to sound like I'm just kissing a friend's ass, but Frank's drumming, and that is spot on. It's the best part of the song. When I had it on in the background when I was doing some other stuff, and it actually distracted me from what I was doing. And distracted is really not the right word. It caught my attention away from what I was doing back to the music itself, which at that point was just sort of background noise. And then one of the things that attracted me to the song was the drumming. I don't know if it would go as far as call it a gallop, but the tempo is certainly outstanding. Coop?
Here, here.
Excellent. Do you have any thoughts, sir?
I was honestly kind of – I was really worried that maybe it disconnected because there was like a long pause.
So yes, I was waiting for you to fill the silence, sir.
Oh, I see.
Have we completely lost our rhythm without Jesse? Like, it's been such a long time since me and you have done a podcast. Are we completely out of practice?
I think so. We're like a tricycle. Like, when you just try to do it with two wheels, sometimes it gets to be a little weird. You got to get used to it again.
I guess so.
I don't know.
Wake up, man. You used to have no problem, like, just cutting me off and saying what you had to say. It's like, this is Cooper's podcast. Go fuck yourself. What happened to that guy? Bring him back.
Well, I mean, I don't want to interrupt. That'd be rude.
No.
Plus, this is more your album than mine.
Okay. So, Coop, thoughts?
I really like the up-tempo. I like the fact this song's so up-tempo. That's one thing in a lot of the metalcore genre I feel that really works the advantage of, well, the genre, is when it gets more up-tempo, that's why I feel like a lot of the good songs kind of shine. It utilizes more hardcore elements of, well, the metalcore. Not as much on the breakdown. Not as much on the... Wow, they have a lot of, like all of their songs start with an A or a B. I just noticed this. Interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Except for track six. Track six starts with an S.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to get the combo breaker. I mean, yeah. I mean, overall, it was a pretty nice song, all in all. I think it's a song. I like it.
It's a living.
It's a living. I'm always at work, and I just hear it's a living. And in my head, I just hear you making this fucking turkey noises.
Oh, it's a living, huh?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Hang on. That never gets old.
Especially because I only hear it like every once in a while. So it's just it's like the return of a good friend.
So as I look at these song titles, I think they're signaling the movie Grease. Specifically, what's the name of it? It starts C C C A A A A minor F F F F F F F G G G G 7. What's that playing on the radio? Remember that? The movie Grease. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I mean, I know what Grease is. I just don't remember that that song.
I feel like with the A A B B B S A, they're going in A A A A minor F F F F F F F G G G G 7. There's a connection to Grease here. They're trying to make it's subtle, but that's what I think they're going for. They are channeling the Greasers of the 1950s through the movie Grease with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, what if they do Grease 2?
Grease 2 is the worst movie ever captured on film. It should be stricken from memory. All copies of it should be burned. And if there's anything remaining on the internet, it should be taken down. It's absolutely horrible. I wouldn't show it to my kids as a joke. I wouldn't defend it on trial. On trial every other Thursday here on the Rattlegion Broadcasting Network.
But
I'm going to defend Cat. Hang on. I'm going to defend Catwoman tomorrow night with Halle Berry and her boobies. And I still refuse to defend Grease 2. Grease 2 is indefensible. Grease 2 is the murderer with the body in the murderer's hands, with the knife sticking out of the body, covered in blood and fingerprints. It's and the murderer says, "I did it. I confess." There's no defense of it. None.
But is it as bad as Santa with muscles?
No, it is not. I'm sorry. It's far worse than Santa with muscles.
You know, my buddy hated that movie so much that he refused to even watch a review of it. Yeah, my buddy Nick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I really
the one that should be on the podcast.
Yeah.
Take a drink, everybody.
I mean, at this point, like, you know, I was like, me and my buddy, I'm like, well, you know, I should really just go ahead and tell you which one it is. Just so Jesse can drink.
Goodness gracious. Okay, let's move on. Now that we've gotten that silliness out of the way, what are we up to track for? This is Broken Memories. Can sort of picture myself several years younger on the dance floor, picking up change, throwing a windmill, getting down with my bad self, getting buck naked and getting to know my damn self. No, I didn't. I would not be at the hardcore show. I would not be at the PWAC in Suffolk County, Long Island, buck naked. That would end me in Suffolk County jail. It's a terrible, terrible place. But I absolutely, these are very danceable songs, danceable tracks. I can definitely see the picking up change or the picking daisies, if you will, if you're of that gender, if you're of the female persuasion and you prefer to pick the daisies as opposed to picking up the change like a bum. Either way, it's a danceable track.
You know, I really don't pick many things up at metal shows. Daisies, change, women. I'm sure you knew that one was coming, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well,
everyone
well,
take a drink. Robert Cooper. Love is
poop.
We're bringing up the Mr. Lonely Hearts character here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. Everyone take a drink.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, like, there's one time there was a chick that was absolutely adorable, and I'm like, you're pretty adorable, but I never talked to her because I don't really talk when I'm at metal shows that much. I was kind of taking in the, just drinking it in, man.
I think you've missed out on a lot of opportunities for fresh kale, as it were, with that sort of behavior, or lack of behavior, as it were. I'm just saying. I'm trying to help you out here.
Well, I think maintained, the only time I've been actively hit on in my life was at karaoke, so.
You know what? I learned a valuable lesson doing karaoke the few times that I've done it. You really want to pick the crowd-pleasing songs, not the songs you like in particular, if you're me. Because
I died at what was it, Run to the Hills? Nobody cared.
Similar issue with Slipknot. I was like, ooh, I'm going to do a Slipknot song. I like Slipknot. And, you know, all karaoke is equal in the eyes of the Lord. And it's not. If you go to a karaoke bar with a bunch of stiff white people, they're not going to appreciate the Slipknot, as I learned. However, they all got wet for Friends in Low Places. Apparently that was a crowd
God,
favorite.
Oh, God, you are not fucking... Oh, God damn, I fucking hate that song. It's very fucking recent.
Because I got friends in lonely places where the...
I don't fucking know. You know what's funny? When like a fucking nerdy-looking... Or just kind of like your generic white guy went up there and fucking did Notorious B.I.G.
Of course.
That was pretty cool.
Karaoke.
Funny
karaoke is... such a white thing. I mean, and I'm not just saying only white people do it. I'm saying even if you have black friends, or Chinese Chinamen, or Mexicans, right? You know, any of those kinds of peoples, and they're at the karaoke bar, they have all made a social contract that this is indeed a white activity. And they are engaging in white behavior. And they all, it's like, no matter, even if you like, you know, the most soulful, urban, proud, Luke Cagey black man gets up on that stage, does karaoke, instantly turns white, loses all his coolness instantaneously. It's as if there's an exorcism happening, and it's just this, all of those things, the urbanness, the coolness, the soul just flies out of his mouth like oh so much pea soup. And all that's left is horrible, horrible honkiness. It's just sad. It's a Don Nosol Simmons kind of a thing. You know, I have brought up Don Nosol Simmons before. And if you haven't heard me, Google it. But it's David Alan Greer playing a character from Amazon Women on the Moon named Don Nosol Simmons. That is probably the best representation of what I'm talking about here that I can think of, if you catch my meaning, sir.
You know what's funny? Karaoke's popular in, like, Japan. Why? Because you go into a room with your friends and they have to listen to you.
My wife went to a high school. Now, hang on, Googly. My wife actually went to high school in Japan, and you know, and that was the thing to do, as you said. You know, I'm saying it's a white activity, like we do everything else, and this is the one thing we're very good at. One of the best things we're good at, stealing other people's culture, and we did. We white people done appropriated the karaoke from the Japanese folk, and she was telling me that, you know, when her time in Japan, she was big in Japan. I don't know if you know that. Big in Japan.
All right.
This podcast has become very karaoke. I keep singing other songs. Anywho, yeah, she did a lot of karaoke. That was the thing to do. So years later, when Lily was less than 1 year old, as a matter of fact, we took her to New York for my wife's Japanese high school reunion, And we actually did karaoke, a whole bunch of us. And I got up there and sang, unfortunately.
How'd that go?
I don't fucking remember.
Did you not have any friends in low places?
Because I got friends in
low places.
Where the whiskey rolls and the mall of Texas.
Yeah.
Did I pull up the lyrics? Did I just bust up the whole thing?
No, because I'm just going to keep trying, but all it's going to be is like, because I don't know the rest of the fucking song.
It'd be really funny if we both pulled up the lyrics and still just mumbled our way through it. Because I got friends in Humdinger.
Well, anyway. I mean, the really funny thing is when I did karaoke, that drunk couple that were just so, like, kept getting drunker and drunker as the night went on, because we started at 10 and I left by 1. And, like, it was just, like, kind of, because he was your typical, like, white trashy guy and she was white trashy woman. And, he was singing and she was hanging on his leg and pantomiming masturbation with his shirt tail. And then they disappeared
sorry,
for a little while. Mainly because I think they got hanky-panky and then got drunker. By the time I was leaving, they were doing Bring Me to Life by Evanescence, and she was so drunk she couldn't keep up with the words.
So I miss Jesse tonight because I have to do my own linking and blogging as we do this. So far I've posted Kremlin Rising, as talked about on the Metal Hammer of Doom, and now I'm posting a video for Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places, as heard for some reason on the Metal Hammer of Doom on the Rattledge Broadcasting Network. And normally Jesse takes care of this sort of thing. We miss you, Jesse. Come back so I don't have to do my own work.
Come back.
You can blame it all on me.
Oh, so there we go. We're in agreement.
I was wrong, and I just can't be bothered with this nonsense. Woo-hoo! Track 5. Our title track tonight, Beneath... No one's going to ask me to review anything for them ever again. Beneath the Waves.
Let's go.
running dangerously close to the middle of that song, so I got to cut it off. Again, I don't want anyone listening to this to come away with like they are not focusing on the music and they're devolving into silliness. If you've never heard the Metal Hammer of Doom, that's the podcast, everybody. We do talk about the music, but we also sidetrack into nonsense. And as if, you know, and this was well timed. So I posted the thing about Garth Brooks and Patrick Mullen, who will be guest hosting next Tuesday on TV Party Tonight, who started a podcast with me called Unsolved Wrestling Mysteries, in which our first episode we looked at why the Ultimate Warrior's title run did not go as planned. Commented, "This is my karaoke go-to." I should have Pat come on and sing Sister Christian. He used to do that on the 411 Ground and Bound radio show, where he would just break out into and the Casual Heroes. We would have our karaoke moment with Patrick Mullen, and he has a soulful voice, ladies and gentlemen. Patrick Mullen sings like the angels.
I think we need to have a fucking, we need to do what I've been trying to do at work for fucking months, or for years, a departmentally regimented karaoke night.
Oh, God. Hashtag white folks.
Hashtag honkies.
That's crackerific.
Crackerific. Oh, sweet Jesus.
It's honky-tacular. I'm just a honky-tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm bad.
Oh, the honky-tonk man. You know, I watched Royal Rumble 2001 right before the other Rumble.
Oh, yeah?
It was just really fun. To see the honky tonk man get the fucking guitar broken over his head.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the honky tonk man actually on the Ultimate Warrior podcast. All right, before we lose track of things, what did you think of that last song?
It was solid. It kind of felt like kind of your run of the mill core song. Like, this could be playing at Hot Topic just fine.
Oh, no. Hot Topic metal. Burn down the Hot Topic. I liked it.
It was fine. Fucking Hot Topic, though. They don't have any metal shirts. They had a Death shirt once, and I almost shit my pants. Because I was like, what? You mean we finally made it? We get to sit up there with Lil Wayne.
Oh, goodness. So, just as an aside, I eventually will do a podcast. I'm starting to think differently about this, about my ongoing health issues, which I got some semi-good news today, though I'm not out of the woods yet, and I still have a little ways to go, and we still don't know exactly what in the fuck happened to me. But, so far, so good. So what? And I have been contemplating doing another diary, just sort of telling the tale, how I got admitted to the hospital and everything. And sort of cheekily, I was going to call the thing Careful With That Mike Wheezy. And so I was looking for an appropriate picture to go with it. First of all, trying to find a picture of Wheezy Jefferson that actually, you know, that would go with it was just like next to impossible. A lot of the Wheezy Jefferson pictures sucked. Why I got started telling you this, but shit, I lost my train of thought. But there was a whole like
Wheezy Jefferson.
Like, Wheezy Jefferson. It was easier to find Wheezy the Penguin from Toy Story. It was a much easier picture to find.
I was thinking of the whole time. You should have used Wheezy the Penguin.
Well, you know what it was?
Or you could use, because when you said Wheezy, we'll be fucking Jerry Lawler's Three Knives, Sleazy, Wheezy, and Cheesy. You remember them?
No.
Yeah, he had three midgets.
Oh,
you're
talking about the midgets? Are you talking about the midgets?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But which one is Sleazy though? Because I feel like I'm Cheesy. Because me and my damn dad.
Okay, here we go. See, this is why I need Jesse. Because Jesse'd be on that shit right now. He'd be like, "All right, Jerry Lawler and the midgets."
Sleazy, Wheezy, and Cheesy.
Midgets Survivor Series.
Sleazy, Wheezy, and Cheesy.
There they are. Dink and Pink versus Sleazy and Cheesy. Oh, goodness. Survivor Series 93, baby. On the dime, baby. All right. Let's see if we can actually find it here. Where is it? I don't see it. We have the Hart family versus Shawn Michaels and the Knights. Hmm? Huh? The history. We want Doink. Apparently, there were Doink chants. All right. I will continue to peruse this, but let's move on and play another song here. Get on with this sort of thing. All right, here we go. This is track 6, Sight Lost to Vision. Sleazy, Queasy, and Cheesy versus Doink the Clown, Dink the Clown, Pink and Wink. There was no Wheezy in the in Lawler's. No Wheezy. There was no Wheezy, and had there been a Wheezy, he would not have been careful with that mic, sir.
Oh, God. The midgets. Well, you know what? Between the three of them, I think, honestly, I think really they kind of look like us.
they look Wheezy to you? I don't understand what you're trying to tell me.
Well, I mean, of course, I'm the taller one with the bad mustache. You're the shorter one with the mustache. And then Jesse's the one with no mustache.
Oh, you're saying we look like the midgets. Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see that. As I look at that picture, yeah, I feel like Jesse's definitely the one on, like, if you're looking at it, the one on the far right.
The right.
Yeah.
Kind of does look like him.
I'm the one in the middle. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Are you the one in the middle, or am I the one? See, because you're the, probably the tallest of the three of us. So I feel like you need to be the one all the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean it's at least he doesn't have a guitar hit on his head yet. I mean maybe he'll get into that the Rumble in XPW.
Okay, let's move this along. All right, our last track of the night. God damn, this is a deafening echo. Bigger and better things. I hope this is just the beginning of their time in the limelight and not the peak of their respective careers. a solid outing for If He Dies. I'm anxious to hear what they come up with next. I give the album in total, for what it is, for what they are, for the time in their lives, I'm going to go ahead and give this a solid B+. Robert?
I mean, this was overall, it was a fine album. It did grow on me in those 10 minutes. I listened to it. It was a, I mean, it's a good album. It's one of those that, I mean, I could see myself listening to it again, at least as background noise. It's pretty cool. Pretty fine album. Really nice. Was it a debut? It looked like a debut. Was it? I think so. I mean, it was a pretty good album, though. It was a good album. The best album. I was trying to trump it, but yeah.
Anal trumpet?
Anal trumpet, yes, butt trumpet. In terms of grade, I'd give it a solid 3 out of 5. Production-wise, yeah, it's a very good production, especially for a, kind of a small-scale band. I'd like to see what they do the further they get along, because I think they could do some really good stuff.
I'm going to go on their Facebook page real quick and see what their next show is. You know, I want to say to the guys in the band, if, you know, you're listening to this podcast, don't be offended by the, you know, the distractions and the karaoke and the side conversations. That's what we do here. That's how we roll. There's nothing to do with you guys. We have discussed some incredible bands and paid them no mind. Most famously, as we talked about before, we reviewed Children of Bodom's Blood Trumpet or whatever the fuck it was called.
Halo.
And literally got bored in the middle of our own podcast and just started talking about something else.
It happens sometimes. Our best podcasts come from when we were bored, though.
Okay. I want to say, based on their Facebook page, they have some t-shirts for sale. You can check that on the If He Dies Facebook page. Okay, and this was posted as of February 14th. Okay, yes, this is an event. Oh, thank God. Whoops. Looks like they... Oh, for fuck's sake. Hang on. They are playing at the Revolution Bar and Music Hall. I lost the link here. Okay, looks like they're playing with a band called Kissing Candace at Revolution Bar and Music Hall Saturday. This Saturday in Amityville Horror, New York. If He Dies with, I think, Reign of Fear... in support of Kissing Candace. The doors open at 6 o'clock. Gotta be home by 6 o'clock. Tickets are available on Ticketfly. Go ahead and check that out. You'll be able to see this band live. That's February, it looks like 25th. And go ahead and share this in my news feed. So if you liked what you heard tonight and you happen to be in the New York metro area on Strong Island, go ahead and check out If He Dies, playing with Kissing Candace at Revolution Bar and Music Hall. That's 140 Merrick Road, Amityville, New York, 11701. If I were 10 years younger and still living in New York, I would check that out. But alas, I live in Tampa, so it's not going to happen. I threw out a quick invite to Pat if he wanted to come on and do a drive-by karaoke song, but he hasn't gotten back to me, so I don't think it's going to happen. So, if you don't have any further words that you want to share about this particular album or the band itself, I'm going to go ahead and jump into plugs here. I'd like to plug last night's TV party tonight, but... at the moment, it's still only playing the first 20 minutes of the podcast that where I couldn't hear myself or the soundboard, and no one could hear me. and it was a lot of nonsense and me playing various music and screaming at the Block Talk Radio help desk, why can't I hear myself? And not the hour-long discussion with the guest I had on, Mark Roth. I'm hoping that gets fixed and it's an actual listenable podcast, but Block Talk Radio sometimes doesn't, you know, work. So we'll see what happens. In the meantime, check out the archives. We've got source material, Batman 66, Volume 1, and a mini pod and a mini review of the Lego movie that's up in the archives. Tomorrow night, On Trial is back in celebration of Black History Month. Hashtag Black folks. I will be defending, as it is my right to defend, Halle Berry's Catwoman. It's a fantastic movie. Everyone should see it. It's far superior than Grease 2, which goes without saying.
Yeah. Catwoman is... Do you want me to bring my fucking 7-page paper on that film?
I don't know what... I don't even understand what you're trying to tell me right now.
That Catwoman's a fucking awful film.
I don't understand the language you're speaking. Next week, here on the Rattlage Broadcasting Network, Pat Mullen will be taking his angelic voice onto the TV party tonight, and we're going to be discussing season one, all 10 episodes of Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, and our continuing celebration of all things metal here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. We'll be reviewing Steel Panther's Lower the Bar, and I'm sure a lot of fun will be had. And Thursday, Robert Winfrey, because he made me, we're going to watch the movie Ink and review it, and a fun time will be had by all. And then Friday, we have a very special podcast that will be posted. It's the Rattlage and Broadcasting announcement of Wolverine Week, where we'll talk about all of our various shows, which I'll tell you about in just a few moments. Plus, we will have a panel discussion of the history of the Wolverine character, both in comic books, cartoons, and films. And a grand time will be had by all. And, of course, Wolverine Week will consist of source material on Monday, March 6th. We will discuss the book Old Man Logan. Damn You Hollywood is back on Tuesday. Robert Winfrey and I will review the movie Logan one last time, baby. Hashtag one last time. Right here on the Metal Hammer of Doom, and I can already hear Robert Cooper's pants tightening as I announce that we'll be getting in the Wayback Machine and we'll be reviewing Entombed Wolverine Blues. Yeah, that's a real thing, people. But, like, the good one, not the shitty one. What do you think about that, Robert Cooper? Wolverine Blues, are you excited? Are your pants tight?
We don't wear pants here, sir.
Oh, goodness gracious. it's pants off, dance off, I'll tell you right here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. And finally, we'll be closing out Wolverine Week with On Trial, X-Men Origins Wolverine. Again, the law offices of Dewey, Skroom, and Howe will take on yet another client falsely accused of being a shitty movie. I will defend this movie and explain in painstaking detail just how great it really is. So look for that. And that's all my plugs for now. Sir? Hang on. He's been waiting. Before we go anywhere, hang on. I got to bring him on. Bring him on the show here. Sir? Area code 732, you're on the air.
Spend my days working hard on the go, but the hands on the clock keep spinning too slow. I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight. You know my baby's got me wrapped around her little finger, cause she knows that I would walk through hell and back to be with her. Oh, I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight. Shut the lights off, bolt the doors, and we'll leave every worry in the world behind. Turn me in your arms, never let me. Baby, it's true, I got a one-track mind, but it's hard to concentrate around a girl like mine. I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight. Maybe what we're doing might be wrong. How in the world could we be wrong? Never knew that love could take so. Never knowing that loving couldn't take so long. Well, I wake up in our arms with the sunlight peeking through the curtains of a room, and it's just one thing I'm thinking. I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, we have a celebrity in the house. Straight out of Memphis, the Nashville sensation himself, Double J, Jeff Jarrett. Welcome
That's J-E.
To the show, Jeff.
That's J-E, double F. J-A, double R-E, double T.
Thank you for coming on and doing some drive-by karaoke, Jeff.
Pretty soon we're going to rename this the Metal Hammer of Jarrett.
Now we just need you to hit somebody over the head with a guitar and gracefully exit the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Double J has left the building.
Thank you, sir. I love it. I think we should have Pat on every week to do drive-by karaoke.
I didn't see it coming.
Famous last words.
You know, that reminds me of that time Jeff Jarrett had an MMA gimmick.
Okay.
Yeah, right, and as an aside, I had a meeting at work where I just lit them up with, like, jokes. But one of my coworkers brought up that I have a story for, like, everything.
Well, if you didn't, this would be a shitty podcast.
I'm like, you know, this reminds me. He just started laughing. I'm like, oh, yeah, I really do. But anywho, plugs, there's this podcast. It's pretty nice. We're doing Entombed next week.
But he's too big.
He's too big.
He's too big. He's not. Nice.
He's too big. But he's too big.
All
and
right.
Then there's the Sister Snyder podcast where people keep fucking liking it even though I haven't released anything in years. Nor talked to my co-host in about a month because I don't know what the fuck he's even up to. So there's that. Find us on Facebook. Facebook.com/SinterRider podcast. That's SENTARIDER podcast. Finally, WTMnet.com. My buddy Sean Garmer's website where I wrote a review for him, and it's not been posted yet. It's been like
still two, isn't it, like, didn't you write this thing like 6 months ago?
Like 2 weeks ago, something like that. I mean, it was 1600 words. It's pretty big for a review.
I feel like you've been talking about this forever now.
I really have. It's for the game called The Flame and the Flood, and I already got another game called IO to review, and then he gave me Yeah, E's Origin, which is a Japanese RPG, so that's going to be fun. So, yeah, I'm going to have more reviews coming out on that site. And watch his, and listen to his wrestling podcast, Wrestling to the Max. They're pretty cool. They do things like, you know, like review everything. Seriously, like, how do they get enough time to watch all that shit?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, I can only watch so much broken Matt Hardy in one day.
I've never watched any of it, and I don't plan to.
It's really fun. It is very quotable, too.
Nah.
Like, Brother Nero.
Delete.
Yes. I mean, hey, it's over. I mean, hey, if it's over, that's cool. But anywho, yeah, that's it for me.
All right. That's it for the Metal Hammer of Doom tonight. If this is the first time you're listening to this show, I'm sorry. No, I'm not really sorry. This was fun tonight. We had a good time, goddammit. So tune in next week. We'll be doing Steel Panther, and then we got Entombed, and then we'll get back and review more albums as they are released. So for Robert Cooper, for our drive-by karaoke man with the plan and the angelic voice, Mr. Pat Mullen, And for the third chair, who's got the projectile leprosy tonight, Mr. Jesse Starcher, this has been the Metal Hammer of Doom. Be well, be safe, and behave.